Every year, the Library of Congress chooses 25 audio works to preserve in its National Recording Registry. And this month, we're highlighting a few of this year's. One of them is a psychedelic pop album from 1967. Nope, not Sgt. Pepper's. Forever Changes by the band Love. Like Sgt. Pepper's, it was a rock record with symphonic ambitions. Unlike Sgt. Pepper's, you've never heard of it or the band that made it. But among people who really know, Forever Changes is a forgotten masterpiece. Arthur Lee and Brian McLean, the main songwriters of Love, are no longer with us, so we'll hear about the making of the record from three others, starting with its producer.
Hi, this is Bruce Botnick. I recorded and produced Forever Changes for Elektra Records back in 1967.
My name is Johnny Eccles. I'm co-founder of the group Love and the lead guitar player in Forever Changes.
My name is Maria McKee. I'm Brian McLean's little sister. I was in a band called Lone Justice, and I've had a solo career. I love songs that start with yeah, just draws you right in.
Yeah, said it's all right. I won't forget all the times I've waited patiently for you. And you'll do just what you choose to do.
You can't even really make out who's singing the lead vocal. It could be Brian, it could be Arthur. And I think it's really about the atmosphere of the recording and what it represented.
Love was the first mixed race group out there. I mean, white guys and black guys.
We chose purposely to have a mixed racial group. We did not want to be typecast, and if we had had an all-black group, we would have been typecast as a blues group or an R&B group, and we didn't want that, so we purposely chose to have it multiracial.
Arthur Lee, the leader of the band, Brian McLean, guitar player, were both songwriters, but of course, Arthur was the leader.
Arthur Lee and his psychedelic band. Come on.
One, two, three, four.
Arthur Lee was a poet. He had a way of looking at life and putting it in words that were funny or that were profound.
Where are you walking? I've seen you walking. Have you been there before?
My brother Brian McLean joined the band when he was a teenager still, because he'd been on the road with the Byrds. He was a tour manager for the Byrds.
When he came into the group, we were kind of a rock blues band. So we basically flipped overnight to a folk rock group, and that was because of seeing the Byrds and also Brian's influence.
What Brian brought to the band was a sort of melodic sensibility that was fostered by his love of people like Leonard Bernstein and Stravinsky and Stephen Sondheim. He was really influenced by show tunes, and you know, and I think that that made the band unique.
I once knew a man, been everywhere in the world, gave me a tiny ivory ball, said it would bring me good.
It was a sort of Baroque period in LA when there was this really mystical sort of feeling. And, you know, L.A. has this incredible sort of gothic quality. It's this sort of haunted movie set. And that backdrop really, I think, sort of draws a certain type of artistic personality.
Arthur talked of death and resurrection and that war in Vietnam, which was on everybody's mind.
We're on the outskirts of the village of Cam Nhi with elements of the 1st Battalion 9th Marines. We were walking into this village when you can hear what happened.
We were playing in San Francisco, and an AWOL Vietnam soldier sat at the table with us, and he started telling us about the war. And he would tell us that when a soldier was bleeding and the blood mixed with mud, it would turn gray. And so that was one of the lines of the song, House is Not a Motel.
And the waters turn to blood, and if you don't think so, go turn on your tub. And if
surface mixed with mud, you see it turn to gray. Then you can call my name. I hear you calling my name.
Our generation were listening to everything. There was sharing. To give you an example, when I was doing the Turtles, Happy Together, they were very close with the Beatles. And the Beatles had given them a monaural acetate reference disc of Sgt. Pepper months and months and months before it came out.
And everybody was so knocked out by that that we wanted to see if we could do something as good or better.
Not that we were trying to do Sgt. Pepper Forever Changes. It was not a financial success by any means. But, I mean, I've heard from quite a few musicians, especially English musicians, who adore the album, that grew up with it.
When I was in my band, Lone Justice, the first time we performed in London, that was pretty much all people wanted to talk about, really, was love.
This album, Forever Changes, epitomizes the period almost more than any album out there. I mean, without sounding dated.
The songs were poetry. You know, the music and the lyric fit beautifully together. It has a symbiotic relationship.
The fact that the band was a cultural melting pot, multicultural band, is tremendous influence as well, and really unique to this day. You don't see many bands like that.
And you juxtapose that with that war, and we were living in a really, really tense, chaotic time. And music was cathartic. It was something that allowed people to get away from that, to kind of step back. And because of the fact that those songs spoke to that and it spoke to the younger generation, I think that's why it has held so long and is still selling after 40 years.
We heard from Johnny Eccles, Maria McKee, and Bruce Botnick talking about the album Forever Changes by the L.A. folk rock band Love. That 1967 recording has been preserved in the National Recording Registry. Our story was produced by Ben Manila and Devin Strolovich. And you can hear all our stories about pieces in the National Recording Registry, from Howlin' Wolf to Mel Brooks to Loretta Lynn, at studio360.org.